From Coleraine in County Londonderry, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join with us as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the programme. It's good to have you tuning in as Gospel Minister and Evangelist in Coleraine, the Reverend Roger Higginson, is here to Let the Bible Speak.
Thank you again for joining us today. God bless you as you do that. We do thank you for tuning in, and it's always encouraging for us to hear from time to time of people that listen to the broadcast. Maybe we meet people at meetings in different places and they'll sometimes say, you know, we listen to the broadcasts and we do enjoy them and benefit from them, and that really encourages us. We're living in days where God's people need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ and seek to encourage one another in the Lord. But most of all, we do trust and pray that spiritually the Lord will really reveal Himself to you through the Word of God as it goes forth over the airwaves. And if you're not saved, if you're not yet a Christian, oh how we pray for you, that the Lord will just minister to you and that you will too understand and experience the wonderful blessing of God's salvation. Mark chapter 10 today again. Mark 10, we started looking at this portion last Lord's Day, and we're just going to read again from verse 17 of Mark 10 as we think about the rich young ruler who came so close but yet was so far when all was said and done from the Lord. So close to entering into newness of life, but sadly also so far. Mark 10 verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had many possessions. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word today to all of our hearts, for his own sake, and for his own glory. The rich young ruler came so close to entering into eternal life, but today he's so far away. You'll notice that he made an important inquiry. We thought about this last Lord's Day. The important inquiry, this vital question that he asked in verse 17, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And that's the most important question that we could really ever ask. How can I be saved? How can I be sure? How can I know that I'm going to heaven? You'll notice that he was enthusiastic. He came running. He held the Lord in high esteem because he kneeled. And he was also earnest. What shall I do? Wanting to know the truth. Those imperative things. What shall I do? And then there was also a remarkable reply to his important inquiry. Verse 18. Jesus said unto him, he makes a reply, and the Lord's answer was not what the young man was expecting. It was quite remarkable what the Lord said to him whenever we really think about it. It was certainly not what the human mind or heart would think, what the natural man would have desired to have heard. And perhaps it was like a bucket of cold water to the rich young ruler's enthusiasm. This remarkable reply has reference to the certainty of Christ's deity. Jesus answered and said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now some people, some certain sects, the Mormons for example, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, they often use this verse of scripture as a text to try to disprove the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse of scripture, in fact, proves that Jesus Christ is God. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That is God. Now the rich young ruler recognized that the Lord is good. He couldn't help but notice that. And anybody that was honest and honestly surveyed the person of Christ, his life, his words, his heart, his ministry, his countenance, his demeanor, his lifestyle, they would have to acknowledge that he was good. The Bible says that he was good. Acts 10:38 says that he went about doing good. And anybody that knows him and has trusted him can testify that he's good. I know that the Lord is good. God is so good. He took my sin. Now I am free. He's so good to me. But the Lord here says, there is none good. That's a direct quote from Psalm 14 verse 3. Verses that the rich young ruler, being a Jew, should have known himself. He would have been familiar with them. And Romans chapter 3 tells us the same thing. There is none that understandeth. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. So the Lord was good. The rich young ruler acknowledged that. But yet the natural man in the sight of God is not good. He's evil. He's a sinner. He's wicked. And so the only one that is truly good is God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. So what the Lord is essentially saying to the rich young ruler here is, if you recognize that I am good, and the natural man is not good, you have to recognize me as being more than just a mere man. Christ was a man, but he was also God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Lord's saying here, if you recognize that I'm good, you must also recognize that I am God. Christ was given divine names, he received divine worship, he performed divine works, he displayed divine attributes. And so my Saviour today is God, Jesus Christ is God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The Bible clearly teaches, as clearly as it teaches anything else, it clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is God. So in this remarkable reply, you have the certainty of Christ's deity, but you've also got the condemnation of the law. It seems that the rich young ruler wanted to earn his way to heaven. What must I do? And there are many like that today that think, if I do certain things and I live a certain way, I will get to heaven. I will receive eternal life. And in answer to this question, the Lord Jesus Christ points him to the law itself, to the second part of the Ten Commandments. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and thy mother. Now the Word of God says that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And all of these commandments here in verse number 19, they relate to our fellow man. And the rich young ruler makes the boast, all these have I observed from my youth. And maybe today you try to boast the same. Well, as far as my fellow man is concerned, I've never stolen, I don't kill, I don't steal, I haven't committed adultery, and I've tried to observe these things to the best of my ability since my youth, since my youthful days, and right up until this point of time, I have sought to do my best for my fellow man. And God bless you. You're decent, you're upright, you're moral, and you think maybe that you're getting to heaven because of your lifestyle. But rather than the law of God securing this young man, the law of God really did serve to condemn him, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. Because we go on to read in verse number 21 that the Lord said to him, "Well, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now the Lord here is not saying that if we give our money away, that we'll get to heaven. The Lord here was showing him the cost of discipleship. You've got the certainty of Christ's deity, the condemnation of the law, but also the cost of discipleship. The first and great commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. With all your soul, in other words. And he says here, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God. Have no other gods before me, because the Lord knew that there was a God in this young man's life, and it was the God of materialism. The acid test for the young ruler was, are you willing to seek first the kingdom of God, to acknowledge the lordship of Christ, and to put God first in your life? This wasn't decisionism. This wasn't easy believism. See, friend, I don't believe a person can be saved until they're willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many people say, well, I want the Savior to take away my sin, but they still want their old life. They still want to live their own way. And yet the claim of the gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hudson Taylor said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Taking up the cross means to identify with the person of Christ, with his person, with his work. And we need as well, it says, to follow him. We need to identify with the cross. We need to be crucified. We need the old man to die. We need to have our sins nailed to the cross. And we need to follow the Lord and enter into a life of obedience, following after the Master. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I wonder, have you taken up the cross? Have you responded to the call of God? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple? Do you acknowledge his lordship in your life?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Roger Higginson, 30 Knocklin Grove, Coleraine, BT 52 1WR. Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Roger Higginson, 30 Knocklin Grove, Coleraine, BT 52 1WR. You may hear Reverend Higginson preach each Lord's Day at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. at his church here in Coleraine on the Cloyfen Road, just at the Bushmills roundabout. For further information, you may phone us on 7032-0266, 7032-0266. We assure you of a warm welcome at all of the services, and we look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you. And don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.